Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
This episode is brought to you by Funnables. Funnables aren't just fruit snacks. Every bite your child takes is fuel to spark their imagination, taking them from a wild unicorn space mission to a deep sea dive into a rainbow river. Funnables are made with 7.1% real fruit puree and are an excellent source of vitamins A, C, and E. So anytime, any place, make snack time playtime with Funnables fruit snacks. Have fun, eat it too. Visit FunnablesSnacks.com to shop now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. I recently joined as a member and you can too. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And remember, to include the name The Scoreless Thriller Podcast in your application. Thank you.
Man there trying to stop Gopher for getting himself into further trouble.
It's a fucking disgrace.
Oh, it's not a bad ball for Pelé on the right side. It's Carlos Alberto. And what a great goal that was. Carlos Alberto.
Maradona just walked away from Hoddle then. Maldano. Smoked.
In de halve finale gaan komen met het balbezit voor Frank de Boer. Frank de Boer speelt de bal heel goed naar Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp neemt de bal aan. Dennis Bergkamp. Frank de Boer speelt de bal naar Dennis Bergkamp. Die neemt de bal feilloos aan. En hij schiet de bal erin.
Hallo. And welcome to the special edition of the Scoreless Thriller podcast. I'm joined as always by Leon. Leon, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing okay. Doing fine, very excited for today.
Yeah, we've got a really exciting thing coming up to show you today on the podcast. You know, last time we discussed the film Next Goal Wins and discovered all about the American Samoan team. Well, I sent off a few emails and managed to get in touch with the person who I think is the star of the story and sort of the main protagonist. And we're going to share with you, as you can see probably from the title of this podcast, an interview with the goalkeeper Nicky Salapu, which I think was a really, really insightful and really an amazing discussion.
Yeah, and it's absolutely fantastic that we got this opportunity. I'm so happy to share this with you, I guess.
Yeah, and I think it can't really be understated sort of how impressive or how sort of interesting a character Nicky is as the goalkeeper who's played for almost 20 years for the American Samoan team, turned up year after year just at his own cost and, you know, to represent his country and fight against, you know, this incredible sort of underdog story. So I just wanted to share, Larry Manoa is one of the coaches of the American Samoan team and he's in the film as well. And this is how he described Nicky Salapu in an email to me. He is a passionate and dedicated personality. He is humble and internally optimistic. Of all the individuals for Next Goal documentary, the one that resonates most is Nicky's story. No one can understand the pain he went through, and to come out the other side with his optimism and belief, he is truly a warrior. And I think that, you know, sums it up. It sums it up better than ever I could. So the next voice you'll hear will be his, and I
So get comfy, get a drink, and enjoy, I guess. What's the link to being part of the national team for American Samoa?
Yeah, what's the sort of pipeline? How did you grow, like, go through the age grades and end up in the national team?
I didn't go to American Samoa until I was, like, 19.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in my whole life in Winston, Samoa. So I start, like, you know, there was a tryout for U12 in Samoa, and I played goalkeeper, and they select me to be a goalkeeper for their U12.
Wow.
Then we went to New Zealand. And that's how I started, from U12, U15, U17, U19, and then I ended up playing for the Winston Samoa national team, our rival.
Mm-hmm.
And then I used to play against American Samoa back then. So, and later on, I, you know, when my grandparents passed away, and who raised me, so I ended up going back to American Samoa, and they were having the tryouts for Australia, and one of the coach in American Samoa saw me and is like, "Oh, you used to play for Winston Samoa."
Yeah.
So they ended up selecting me as a goalkeeper. So, and that's how we ended up playing in Australia.
the one match.
Yeah. Yeah, I promise we're going to talk about, like, much happier memories, but we must cover the Australia stuff. So how many caps did you have before you played that Australia game? Like, how many times had you played for American Samoa before then?
That was my first one.
That was your first cap.
And then, in addition to that, there were some passport issues, Ryan. So...
Yes.
Not all the people that were selected to play against Australia could actually make it, right?
Yeah, if we have all the players that were supposed to take it with us in Australia, that amount of goal would never reach that, you know. Like, you know, it would have been 31. It would have probably 5 or 6 or who knows. But most of the players that we have, it was like, some of them were semi-pro from Costa Rica, Panama, Chile. They were all the guys from the boat. And then, you know, they play soccer down there in the island.
Yeah.
And then some of them was from New Zealand. There was, like, 2 players from New Zealand were supposed to play for us. And there was, like, 4... national players from Winston Samoa was supposed to play for us, so it wouldn't be a good squad to represent American Samoa against Australia, but it didn't happen. So
yeah, and then the way it went,
so I ended up,
there were a couple of players that had never played, like, a full 90 minutes match before. Is that a myth? I read it somewhere.
So all the kids that were playing for, all the kids were selecting for that competitions. Some of them were never played soccer in their lives, because
wow,
the only way we can take them is, like, they have a, you know, they have passports.
Yeah.
So we have 8, like, 4 kids from elementary.
Yeah, that's insane.
So there were 8 graders. 4 of them, and most of them were at high school, and there was only 2 of us that was old.
Yeah.
In the teams, I was 20, and then the other guy was like 24. The oldest guy was 24.
Yeah, yeah. The average age was incredibly low, right? And I mean, it has to be such a happening for these high school boys to suddenly become part of the national team and play against Australia. I guess that's such a big happening, right? But then for the goalie, who has to, you know, stand between the posts and make it all work and try to save all these balls, it has to be kind of frustrating, right? I saw, like, this one picture of you where you're, like, in child's pose on the ground, and you could tell that this was, like, a lot to take.
It was exhausting.
Yeah.
Not only, like, you know, physically, but mentally, you know, frustrating, because it's like I was trying to save as much as I can play as hard as I can, but it didn't go anywhere. So I try really hard, you know, to keep going, but at the same time, I was, like, really exhausted.
Did you have, so, like, how did you mentally approach the game? Like, was there things in your head you were trying to repeat to yourself to keep yourself motivated and go through it? Or how was the sort of your kind of mental space? Because also it was your first cap, so how were you trying to compartmentalize this?
Don't know what to do. Because it's like I never played with these kids before, because we just booked the team together in 2 weeks and then we go to Australia. So I have no chemistry, no any communications with the players. It's like, so all these kids, like, you know, they don't even really know how to play soccer or I try really hard to communicate most of them, but they couldn't even know exactly what football, how to play, or how to, you know, to put yourself in there, because all of them, their first time playing against the national level. I was playing, like, you know, a bunch of games before I moved to American Samoa. But the only way I was, like, keeping myself calm and, like, you know, I'm representing my country. I have to do something. I'm the only way I can protect the goal is, like, you know, to keep, to be strong for the teams, and then let, you know, to keep motivating the boys to keep going. I was the captain of the team, and I was trying to make sure that I was, like, you know, I was there for them. It didn't affect me what the outcomes was. I just love football.
Yeah.
And that's how it is. So.
Yeah.
This might be an odd question, but have you ever, like, in the years since, thought, like, maybe was it right for them to keep on running up the score? Because, you know, given the particular circumstances of you playing with these elementary kids on this team and this particular situation, that they maybe should have taken some of that into account rather than keeping to try and run up the score.
You know, I can't say anything about that because it's football, it's football. But, you know, like you say, it's like, to be sportsmanship and, you know, to be fair for us, it's like they shouldn't even run the goal, the score that high. They should know, you know, by, like, halftime, they already, like, 16-0. They should know that we're not that good. And I don't know, it's like, you know, everyone have a different way of playing or a different way of coaching. For me, it didn't affect me because it's like I was still trying to, you know, take care of that post and make sure.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering about, I guess, is that afterwards, right? You return to American Samoa and then you have the first training again after this defeat. How do you rekindle the spirits? How do you get everyone to get enthusiastic about the game again and start giving it the best they can?
I was, like, you know, I was still, like, keep going and, like, you know, to keep motivating, to be a good ambassador for the young generations,
yeah.
And to be passionate for the game that I love, and to keep motivating the young generations to become better idols for American Samoa in football.
Yeah.
So for me, it's all about passions and love for the game. So.
And I guess then the big turning point, at least from the perspective of the documentary that we saw, was then that a new coach came in, right? You had eventually Thomas Rongan, who appeared in American Samoa and tried to prepare you for the World Championship qualifiers.
I didn't even know that he was there until he called me and asked me to come play for American Samoa. So when I went down there, he's already been trained with the players and all the, and then with the other coaches, and he was already there before I got there. But it was an exciting thing for us, to have someone have the passions for the game and have the love for the game, and, you know, it's a new experience for us and good quality of coaching. So But I was very excited when I spoke to him on the phone before I flew down there in the island to meet him.
Yeah, how did the call go? What did he say? We need you.
He asked me if I can come play one more time for American Samoa.
Because by that time...
If I can help out.
Yeah, because by that time, so, you already said two times that this is it, or once before?
Yeah, after the tournament in New Caledonia for the South Pacific Games, I thought I was going to be done. Because I have a wife and a kid, you know, and a son over here in Seattle. And then I thought I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to quit the national team for a while. But the passions for football has never doubted my mind. So, so when he called me, I was like, you know what? Maybe I would give one more chance.
Were you aware that there was a film crew already there filming the team? Or, I guess you had been, because in the previous tournament, they'd been there as well.
Yeah, I didn't even know until the South Pacific game.
Okay.
When I flew down to go with the team in New Caledonia, I just realized there is a film crew down there to film us, and then I was a little bit intimidated by it because I didn't even know what to expect.
Were you a little wary of the film crew being there, in that, you know, you didn't want them to be sort of, I don't know, to be like exploitative of the team or something?
No, I was not worried. I was like a little bit, feel kind of awkward and weird because I didn't even know what to expect. Like, you know, I might ended up perform really bad or perform really good or whatever. It's like, you know, but like filming, it wasn't like bad at all for me, but it was kind of weird, like for my experience.
Yeah, like a new experience.
Yeah, it was the first experience I ever had, but it was a good thing that they captured, like, you know, the great moments for us. So it was a good thing. It was like a good thing to remember. It's like a good memory. So for us to, you know,
how many times would you say you've seen the film?
Probably 20 times already.
What's your most favorite part?
Probably 20 times, because it's like every time I go to a film festival or a premiere or whatever, I always watch it. And then there's a lot of, every time I watch it, I still have, like, you know, that feeling, that great feeling, great moments feelings, like, you know, in some part of the film.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, even we had like these feelings and the goosebumps.
Yeah, me certainly.
Alex in particular, some tears in his eyes. He was rooting for you hard.
The film has managed to make me cry twice, Nicky.
Yeah.
When I was watching the film, I took my family with me one day, in the other part of Washington, to a film festival was being, and me and my family were there the first time, and it was a great feeling, great moments, like, you know, to experience with my son and my wife. It's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Because every premiere that I go, it was, you know, I go by myself, but the first time I ever go with my wife and my son, it was the best experience I ever have.
Mm-hmm. Well, that does sound so lovely. I mean, it probably also was a pretty good feeling when you actually won the first match in the qualifiers, right? The final whistle.
That is like the best moments, like for me. That's the best moments like I ever feel, like I ever felt, like before. Like me, like feel really humble and a good sad feeling. Like,
yeah.
You know,
bittersweet.
It's like an excited moment. You know, it's like make me feel like I want to, like, just feel like crying every single time. I feel like I want to go back and play that game again and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It's like, you know.
Is that definitely your best feeling on a football pitch? As in, like, the full-time whistle at that game of your career?
Yeah, it was the best feeling. After that game, I was like, I didn't even know what the right word to describe or what. I feel like I was still dreaming that I want to win the first game. It's like, it wasn't a dream. It's like, it's a real thing happened. And then it's like, oh my God, I can't believe we just win a first game ever, a first national match.
Yeah.
You know, as American Samoan team.
Going into that game, did you think that you stood a chance of winning it? You know, after all the training with Thomas Runga, did you think that was kind of the game against Tonga was the game to target?
Our main goal was like to win that first game. I have a huge amount of faith with my, you know, with my players and the American Samoan. I give all the credits to the American Samoan, the FFAS, for allowing us to come play for our national team. And we have a huge amount of faith. And then the spirit that we boost up on that before the game start, we have a huge amount of like excitement and confidence that we can win that first game. And then that was our biggest goal. Our biggest goal, what Thomas was saying, it's like to win that first game to look forward for the next one. So, yeah, we put all our efforts and our, you know, and our faith to each other to make sure that we have to win that game. But I, without a doubt, I have a huge amount of trust to our players that we're gonna win that game. So, and then we did it. So,
what was the resonance that you got back home, like in American Samoa?
American Samoa was like, it's a huge football, like American football fans.
Yeah.
In soccer, it's like a little bit amount of fans in American Samoa. It's not huge. So we just hear all this news, all the news from American Samoa, like everyone was excited and happy, and there were some of them were just like, you know, going on the road with the cars was like beeping the horns. Aww. Like, you know, on the road. It was a great feeling for us. It's like we accomplished something huge, you know.
Yeah.
We succeed something that we never have before. And you know, we are ambassador for our country, and we make them proud.
And I mean, it was also well recognized in international media, right? Like, I think the New York Times wrote a piece about it and everywhere. So it was a big, big, big thing that happened.
I didn't even know what's like it was going to be that huge. But it's huge for us because we've been suffering for that 31-0.
Yeah.
So once we have that win, we knew that was going to be a big story for us. And it was kind of awesome that we watched the news like the following day at night before another game against Cook Island. We just saw that on the news from New York. It's just shocking for us. So, to be honest,
it's crazy.
Yeah, insane.
Yeah, and it's exciting. So
no, of yeah. course. What do you think, though, Thomas Rongen attributed most to this win? Like, what was the quality that he could give you guys that make the biggest change?
Thomas was like a very, very passionate coach. Like, you know, the quality that he brought in for our national team was way different. Like, you know, with Thomas is like, he's always by points. He always by the truth of soccer, and he's not like I don't know how to describe, but he's very, very specific in everything, you know.
Yeah.
He's always like in good points of football.
Yeah.
He's never like, you know, he's an awesome coach, to be honest. Very, 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 very supportive and motivators like, to all the boys. He got a good spirit in football. He had the most, he had passions and, and he is like very, very, the personality. Yeah, he's a great person. It's like, you know, overall.
Were you a little intimidated by him at the start? Because he seems very strict and sometimes even a bit harsh in the documentary, especially at the beginning. But then eventually you will find out that he puts all his heart and all his effort into this team. But at the beginning, yeah, I was wondering whether he comes off as a bit strict.
Yeah, you know, when I was playing for a team in Australia called Palm Beach, there was some coach from Ireland, from Wales, from Scotland that was coaching our team in Australia. So yeah. I didn't even have any fear or anything because it's like, but strict is very good for football in our country. So for me, it's like it's a really good thing for our national team because we need that structure, and Thomas gave us that, you know, and he is very disciplined coach. Like, you know, he disciplined us very well. He teach us how to discipline the game, how to honor the game, and how to respect the game. And that's the thing I love about him. It's like, you know, it's all about respect.
Yeah, so he brought discipline and structure to the passion.
Yeah, exactly. He has a very good amount of respect and passion. So he taught us that. It's not like a coach that you see that much just like yelling and screaming and, you know, that like, Thomas is not that kind of person until like you made a mistake and then he will yell at you. But if you're doing good or like, you know, the team is doing good, he will keep motivating you to, you know, to be part of the game. Just like, don't lose that focus. Don't lose that mentality of like when you're playing a game. So he's a very, 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 very awesome, human, like, respect coach. So,
have you been able to keep in touch with him in the years since?
Now and then we just chat on Facebook, but he's a very busy man right now. So I wish to coach us again to that. Oh yeah, the 2015 qualify in Tonga. I don't mean to say anything against Larry. Larry is a great coach, he's a great guy, he's a very awesome person, but for me, like, you know, I would have Thomas to come over and coach us, that we would have won that tournament, to be honest.
Because in 2015 you go even closer, right? I think you win two games, is that correct?
Yes, we were very close. Like, We lost by 1 point again. So in 2011, we lost by 1 point against Samoa. And then 2015, we lost by 1 point against Samoa again.
Okay. So it really... But, yeah. In the film, Thomas Rongan refers to American Samoa and Samoa as the Clásico. So I guess it keeps up.
It's a rival.
A big thing.
Yeah, we always rival. Like, you know, us... when I was playing for Samoa, against American Samoa, it's like, it's always like not a rival because it's like, we always win against American Samoa. It's like, it never be a good team. It's like, you know, like we always, like every time we face again against American Samoa, it's like, you know, we're counting a win already.
Yeah.
Like, it's never doubt in our mind. Like, you know, when I was playing goalkeeper for America, for the Samoan team, it's like, it's a never a rival thing. It's like, we never doubt that we're gonna win. You know, it's an easy win for us.
Yeah.
But when I came back and play for American Samoa, we become rival. We become really good rival because it's like we create this new good players in American Samoa. And then when I was there, I was like, we have a huge amount of like players that have passions and love for the game. So like most of us growing up together for American Samoa, it's like we've been playing together for a while. And we trying to accomplish something against the Samoan team. As they always tell us, it's like, we are the team that anyone can win against. So
yeah.
So we try to change that.
Try, yeah, show them it.
Yeah. We try because Tonga was saying, it's like, oh, it's automatic win for us. Okay. Samoa is like, it's automatic win for us.
Yeah.
Cook Island is like, it's automatic win for us. So for us, it's like we try to change that, that mentality of losing.
Yeah, that narrative.
Yeah,
yeah.
The words again.
So how has it been going since 2015? Like more recently, how is the national team doing?
Yeah, is it many of the same players from the film? Like, or is it a lot of the team changed?
The whole team. Change,
okay.
except Ramin, Art, me, and who else? I think it was only me and Ramin, Art. It was like the only players left from. Oh, and Larry's nephew.
Okay,
Justin. We are the only three left from that national team. Everyone disappeared. So, all the players that was playing in 2011, they all married and go to the military. But me and Ramin, Art, we never lost faith to try to accomplish that first win. Like, you know, in the first round, unfortunately, I didn't play a single game in 2015 because I have no idea what happened to that situation. I wish I was playing, because if I did play, it would be a different outcomes.
Oh, okay.
But wait. You were you not invited, or were you benched?
I was there, but I never played. I was on the bench the whole time.
Okay.
that was the unfortunate part. So after the tournament, I went back to Samoa to visit my family, to my mom. And I don't know if you ever heard of the guy named Desmond Faiwaso. He's one of the best players for Samoa. We grew up together and we live in the same village.
Yeah.
So he told me specific that they were very lucky. Because that when they saw me sitting on the bench, they were like, have the huge amount of faith that they're going to win.
Yeah.
Because if I was playing, because that was our first game. Samoa was our first game in 2015. And then the only way that they can lose that game is like, because I know how to read most of them. Because I play against them like growing up. So they were very, very excited when they saw me on the bench. They were like, it was a huge excitement for them that they're gonna win the game. So
yeah, but especially considering that you had so much knowledge about these players and also the way they play, has it been explained to you afterwards why you were on the bench?
I don't know what exactly happened. I went there for the huge amount of faith that I was going to play to, that I was going to win the first round.
Yeah.
I went there, I was like, because the team camp over in Seattle before we went there, And most of the players that went there, they know me really well. They really want me to play, but yeah. Somehow the coach didn't want me to play. Somehow, I have no idea.
Okay.
But the players was shocked. It was like, how come you didn't play? How come if you were playing, we would have won the game?
Yeah.
All the players was keep telling me that, and my family over in Seattle, my wife and my son was like, piss off.
Yeah. Really yeah, of course.
They would keep checking the. The roster and everything. Like they were because they would keep up with with our team when we were down there in Tonga. So my wife was very mad at the situations, and my son was like devastated by it. So
no, yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
I felt really bad.
Tell them I kept asking what you did wrong.
Yeah, so I have no idea. Most of my fans over in Seattle, some of the guys from there in England, some of the guys that live in Hawaii, they were calling me nonstop. It's like, what happened? Why you didn't play? Why did you didn't play at all?
Yeah, I guess they should have called the coach.
Even Thomas asked me why I didn't play.
Yeah.
And, so everyone was like completely devastated by it. I didn't even, I'm the best goalkeeper in the world or whatever, but I would have do something that is going to make us win that first round.
Mm. Yeah.
You like to know at least why.
Yeah, but then more recently, have you been playing since, like in the team as the goalkeeper, as number one?
Right now, I haven't been playing until like last year.
Yeah.
I went back and played for the South Pacific game that was hosted in Samoa. We did play, and we didn't do good. We ended up tied one game. But we lost against Fiji, Papua New Guinea, and Vanuatu. So we didn't have a good squad, but we did really well. Like I said, all different players, and I didn't really connect with most of them because they're all new, and it was exciting. It's like back on the field. It was really really exciting for me. I was really honored to be back on the national team. So I was excited and look forward to it to going one more time this year, but the coronavirus shut down everything. So
yeah,
all around the world.
Yeah. It's kind of sad because it's like I was supposed to I'm still doing soccer and I'm still doing my training normal trainings for goalkeeper. Look forward to when things open up. I will definitely to be honored to play one more time for the national team.
Yeah.
Before I give up, before I hang my shoes and call it good.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
You want one more World Cup qualifiers? Is that the aim?
Yeah, one more time. That goal that I'm still chasing is to win that first round.
Yeah, and have a rematch against Australia, right? That's also what you said.
Yeah.
It would have. I talked to Cahill.
Yeah.
Team Cahill in New York because he was there in watching the film with us. He brought his two sons. And meet with me over there. He's a great guy. Really, really good guy. Awesome, awesome player. Awesome, have lots of passions for the sport. But I spoke to him and I talked to him and I was like, hey, how about if we can have one more time, one more rematch.
Yeah.
Before we both got, you know. And he laughed, and then he's like, yeah, we'll definitely need to do that. And then I was like, I look forward to it. I can't wait to play against you one more time before I get, you know, before I'm done with the national team.
Yeah, no, that sounds great.
But
he agreed.
Also, I guess you could get quite a lot of publicity for this match, right? Like, people would be so interested.
You know, it would be awesome. It's like, I asked him if we're going to have a charity tournament, you know, like a rematch, like a charity for football, for both countries, like American Samoa and Australia. So it would be awesome.
That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's especially since there's going to be the new Hollywood adaptation coming out, right? Of the documentary. So there's probably going to be a lot of interest on this whole issue. So one might use this to make this kind of happening take place, I guess.
Yeah, it would be awesome if this is like, if the movie is going to be premiered in Australia. That would be a very good honor for me to go there.
Yeah.
If the movie premiere in Australia. Because if I go there, I would ask Australia if we can create a charity tournament. Like, American Samoa against Australia, like, one time. Like, just just something that that benefits, like, you know, the young generations that love football or it's like, you know,
a good course. You know. They have not reached out to you to like clarify stuff or I don't know.
No, they haven't even said anything. So they haven't even reached me at all and talk about what's going on or anything like that. So I'm just a guy who loves football.
Yeah.
Not an actor.
It's the best.
I mean, yeah. On that note, right? Yeah. Like,
it's all about passion and love for the game. Not an actor or a film celebrity. So.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, we totally agree. I think on that note, I think that's a great, on the idea of the sort of passion for football, it's a good point to end this discussion.
But thank you so much. I mean, the documentary was inspiring, but it was also so, so interesting and valuable for us to be able to talk to you. And for you to talk us through everything that happened.
It's an honor. It's like, you know, it's a blessing for me and my family to talk to you. You know, I give all credits to the American Samoan Football Associations and all the players that was playing for the national teams. I give all the credits to them and the coaches and, you know, the CEO for the American Samoan teams and all the players. I give them all the credit. So without them, I wouldn't be playing for the national team.
You've gained two American Samoan super fans, at least in Denmark.
My huge idol right now, it's my wife and my son. So they are the one who support me, like, all the way through now.
Is your son a footballer too?
He retired.
Okay. He peaked.
No, he's a good footballer. He's very, very good.
Yeah.
He used to, when he was 10 years old or 9 years old, he used to play for the U13.
Okay.
He used to play against, like, you know, when he was 10 years old, he play against like the 15 years old in the club. So he's a very, very good player. Very. And right now his passion is like it's basketball because he's tall.
Okay.
He's very tall. So
it's a good skill.
But he is a great soccer player. We always go like right now.
Yeah.
We always go to the soccer field and play. We're still playing on the soccer field every Saturday. for 2 hours.
Well, but that has to be so lovely if you've got like a boy with whom you like a son with whom you can play and go out and hit the pitch and stuff. Sounds amazing.
My huge dream was like, I wish it's like I was like still 20 or like 30 something, like 35.
Yeah.
Because I wish it's like he's like 16 and then I can play with him in the national team. That would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be grand.
That would be a really awesome thing. But, you know, but right now it's like we play on the. We go play every Saturday. He's really good on like passing, like, you know, or scoring goal from halfway. Sometimes I get frustrated and because like he keeps shooting the ball harder at me when I'm doing my training. So when he score against me, it's like we smack talk.
Some banter.
So when we play video games, it's always about like smack talking, and like if I score a goal, I would jump up and running around and screaming.
Yeah.
So, but I always get beat up like in the end. So.
No, but that's good. Some then, healthy competition. That's what you want.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like it's a really good, awesome feeling. It's like, you know. You know, when you're having a 12-year-old, like, you know, beating you up in on the soccer field and beating you up on the video games.
Yes. Yeah. No, but that's what you want, right? Carrying on. The passion.
He's a huge fan of Ronaldo, Cristiano.
Okay.
Yeah, he bought this jersey, like $130, like Ronaldo on it.
Why would you buy a Ronaldo jersey if you could have a Nicky jersey?
Yeah.
So he bought it on his own money because he referees soccer.
Oh,
so
cool.
he makes good money on doing refereeing soccer.
Maybe he'll referee a game you're playing in someday then.
I hope so. He keeps telling me that he loves to give me a red card.
Yeah.
I think that's a dream for any son to send off his dad.
Yeah.
That will be the time I'm gonna be retired.
Yeah, I've had enough.
Okay. Alright, we won't take any more of your Sunday.
No, but thanks again much for your love and your passion.
We appreciate it and we thank you.
Sports Social Podcast Network.